He's not just powerful, he's all powerful. He's not just high, he's most high. He's not just holy, he's the most holy. He's not just great, he's the greatest. Hallelujah. He's not just God, he's the God above all gods. He's not only king, he's king above all kings, Lord above all lords. Amen. Our God is able. Our God is able today, and I thank him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The devil hates us, and I'm glad this morning. He's tried everything he can to hinder. And sometimes we want to take that as a sign that we messed up and need to back up. No, I think what it means is we're in the right path. Amen. We're in the right direction. This means we need to pray harder. Amen. Because what he'd like to do is get us so distraught we can't seek the Lord. Amen. Get us so upset that we can't turn to God. You can get so upset you can't pray. It'll drive you to sorrow. Amen. It happened to the disciples. They were so filled with sorrow that instead of being able to watch and pray with Jesus, they slept. The Bible said he found them sleeping for sorrow. They were so overcome with what Jesus had been telling them and the sorrow that was coming that it pushed them to such despair they couldn't even pray. And they were overwhelmed and all they could do was sleep. Woo, glory. Our God's with us this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. I've been studying to go a different route, but this is where I feel led to go this morning. I want you to open your Bible to the 46th Psalm. A passage I've been just working on memorizing lately. Quoted it the other night in service, but there's a reality here this morning that we have felt. I felt it. Pastor Lapp felt it. Many people felt it. We are easily overwhelmed. I'm not saying that to condemn. We're flesh. We're frail. I'm saying that for us to realize who we are. We can be easily overwhelmed. I can be. I talked with Brother Emery on the phone last night. I confessed to you. I got out of my Sunday school class. My wife said, I called him. This is what Emery told me. That burdened me. I know how I'd felt. I lost $300, my driver's license, all the private things that you've got in your billfold, and people got your credit cards and doing things with them. I know how that'd make me feel. That would bother me. And I think it'd bother everybody in here if it happened to you, would it not? But this is my brother. That bothers me. I feel for what he's feeling right now. And I can tell you, 100 to 1, he'd rather be sitting in this church this morning. His plan was to be sitting in this church this morning. And then I listen to all the requests around here that are given. And man, we're ready to start revival tomorrow night. And all I know is the enemy wants to hinder us from having a move of God. We must be going to have a good week this week if we'll dig in and not allow these things to hinder us today. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I think about all the needs that are overwhelming and how some people are more easily distracted than others. And we are easily overwhelmed. I'm easily overwhelmed. I'm flesh. I'm frail. Circumstances can overcome me. But I can tell you, God wants to keep us in those hours.
Amen.
God wants to help us today where we are. And I just feel led to remind us some things of a psalm, Psalm 46. I want to read here in your presence this morning. I'm just going to go through it. I have no outline. I'm just going to preach what God lays in my heart today. There's several other things I have been seeking God and studying with this week. But you know what? There's just times that things come in and interrupt. We don't foresee them. But God always has something for us in those hours.
Amen.
And I want to share with you something here today. The Bible says that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Though the earth, or therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, there is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Hallelujah. Woo. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations He hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow. He cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. Say that. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. It is a plural thing. The Lord of hosts is with us. Not just me, with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Amen. The Lord of hosts is with us. Three times you heard that in this verse. That is the theme of this passage. Three times we heard it. Verse 1, God is our refuge. Then he mentioned it in verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And in the last verse, the God of Jacob is our refuge. He begins with God as our refuge. He ends with the God of Jacob is our refuge. Oh, yeah. May I share with you from this psalm this morning a few thoughts on God is our refuge. Would you say amen to His Word today? You may be seated. I would just share with you here this morning that it is a fact that you and I think we got a little taste of that right here today. How quickly our apple cart can be upset. How quickly our life can be thrown into a turmoil. How quickly that we can things can be changed and we can be going along smooth, and all of a sudden a huge boulder is just dropped right in our path. One phone call changes our evening plans and changes our life for the rest of our dwelling here upon this earth. One phone call that says, so-and-so has passed away. I remember the phone call that came to me a couple of years ago in a Bible study in a trailer in Chocowinity. And a phone call comes and my daddy is laying on the floor of his house. He is dead. He's went on to be with Jesus. It wasn't just the fact that I lost a daddy. It changed my life forever. It changed my life. My schedule changed. And the next 2 weeks that I had planned to do something else, I will be with my mother taking care of things, and have had a greater burden placed upon me. Things that I've had to take care of and deal with that I would not have to do. And I'm telling you how easily and quickly things can come and the storms can overwhelm us. And you and I think we got it all in control, and all of a sudden a tornado drops in. All of a sudden, I mean, Brother and Sister Brown just moving along in a normal ordinary day, and come home and the house is gone, the roof is moved, the house is off the foundation, it is no more, your whole life has been turned around, and things, the normal is just absolutely gone, and now you've got to take a new direction. But I am telling you, in all of that, God is our refuge.
Amen.
A refuge indicates that there's something you're running from, and a refuge is something you're running to. There's a danger. There's something that is intent on destroying you. There's something that's intent on taking you out, and you need a place of safety. You need a place to hide. You need a place to get to, a shelter from the storm that is coming upon you. When the tornado comes, it announces to people over the radio, and they hear it. They look in the distance, and they see the funnel that has dropped out of the sky and touched the earth, and it sounds like a freight train train roaring towards them. Most normal people do not stand out there and chase after it and get their video camera. They're looking for a place of refuge. They're looking for a place to hide because they know that that storm can take them out. I'm here to tell you right now, there is a storm that's coming upon this earth. It's been called in the Bible the tribulation, and it's a storm that is coming upon this earth, and we are not right now feeling the beginnings of sorrows, and we're feeling the beginning of the storms of storms. And I want you to know that I'm not intending on being here during that time. I found me a refuge, and I intend to be hidden away in the refuge of my God. And in this nation, storms are coming upon us, and you and I can say what we want to. Strong as we may be, we need a place of safety to run to in time of trouble and in time of dilemma. We need a refuge. We are easily overwhelmed. Look at Psalm 46 and let us go through it here this morning and note some things. The Bible says that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He is first of all that place of safety. He is second of all the strength that you and I need. Two reasons why. Because one, we're overwhelmed easily. We need a refuge. Number two, we are weak. Say what we want to, but flesh is pretty frail. Human ingenuity and human resolve is simply not enough for you and I to make it throughout this life. We need strength that is beyond us. We need a natural or a supernatural strength that is beyond our power and our ability. And God is that strength. Somewhere that's got to become to us a very present and practical thing in our life. It needs to be more than sermon material. It needs to be that you and I begin to realize when you feel that overwhelming cloud, as Brother Doug spoke about this morning, when you feel the cloud begin to drop around you, when you feel the overwhelming circumstances coming to you and the burdens become more, you better not sit there and say, I'm tough and I can handle it. You better not sit there and say, I know I can make it. Oh, well, this too shall pass. You better run. You better run for the city of refuge. You better run for the place of safety. You better get yourself in the secret place of the Most High and abide under the shadow of the Almighty, because there and there alone are you going to be able to stand against the storms that the enemy would bring to destroy you.
Amen.
The only hope that you and I have is that God's in the boat with us. If He's not, our ship's going down. And we just well recognize that the only way this ship's not going to sink is if you and I are in the presence of the Lord. It's not that God provides a refuge. It's not that God makes a place to where we can run. God Himself is the refuge. God is our refuge. We run to Him. We don't run to a particular place. We don't run to a particular building. We don't run to a particular person. We run to God Himself and say, You are my refuge. You are my strength. And when I cannot, Lord, here I am. I'm overwhelmed and I need You to reach down. You're a very present help. The word very present help is not just the sense that He is there, but it's the idea that He is a found help, a proven help, an exceeding help in time of trouble. This word present here means to be found. It means that God has proven Himself to be there. He's a very present help. That is, it has already been proven in time that God does not fail. And I don't know but how many millions and untold millions of people throughout the years in the times of overwhelming circumstances has ran to God, and God has helped them and God has delivered them. It's been proven time and time again. You and I are not trusting in nothing. We're not depending on something that might fail. We're depending on something that's been proven to be true over and over again. God will not fail. That's got to get in our heart and our psyche and our spirit to say, I believe that God is with me and God is my refuge. As a result of God being our refuge, the psalmist declares and says, therefore will not we fear. How many of you understand you run to God? I've got a refuge. The Bible tells us another place to be not afraid of sudden fear. It's been my hope. You see, knowing that God is your refuge, it's not just something that is there, so to speak, when I need it. But it's a consolation that's with me every day. How many of you have had thoughts that have come to you from time to time? What would I do if this ever happened to me? I don't know about you. I've had to fight things. There are some times that I have awakened in the middle of the night.
and fear gripped me. Just out of nowhere, some fear gripped me that somebody was in the house. I know my daughters are laying in bed. You be careful what you fill your minds with these days, my friend.
Right.
No wonder our nation, our people is so overwhelmed. All you got to do is so much watching of the news. This person murdered, this person taken out. And you just listen to the news. You've not done anything abnormal. You wake up in the middle of the night and you overwhelmed because you think someone's in the house. Someone's going to take out your children. What would it do if you walked out in the hallway and found your son or your daughter laying there dead and someone had come and has abused your family? I'm going to tell you something. Those kind of thoughts can come and the enemy would come to overwhelm us. But I'm reminded of what the Bible says. Be not afraid of sudden fear. I refuse to be afraid and say, well, what if this happens and what if that happens? I'm not going to live my life like that because God is my refuge. If this does come, I've got a place that I'm staying and where I can run to. And I'm telling you, that refuge gives me a present sense of security. He says, God is our refuge. It's not so much that He's even running there at this moment, but He says, God is our refuge. Therefore, we will not fear. I'm already in that refuge. I might run to get a little bit closer, but I'm live in that refuge. I stay in that refuge. We have animal refuges where the animals are there and they're protected from those around that come and hunt. And I'm telling you, God is my refuge. That's where I live. I don't just run to Him. I live in Him. I dwell in the place of safety. And the enemy can never lay his hand on me unless God will allow it to happen. And I need not fear. What would I do if I lost my wife? What would I do if I lost my children? What would I do if I lost my job? On and on and on the list can go. And you can think, let your mind dwell there. And fear will begin to grip you. It will incapacitate you. It'll cripple you and make you that you can't even function. You'll find your heart beating in your chest. You'll find yourself starting to sweat. Your palms will grow sweaty. And all because you've concocted a scheme by the suggestion of the enemy in your mind. I'm telling you, somewhere you're going to have to get it inside of you, but I live inside a refuge. I live inside a place of safety. I dwell in God. Therefore, will not we fear. Let the earth be removed. Let the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. I'm living in a refuge where the earthquake can't touch me, where the storm can't find me, and where the enemy cannot get his hand upon me. And in those times when it's happened, by the help and the grace of God, I get a hold of myself and say, no, this mind will not go there. I go to the Scripture and say, Lord, You said, Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon Thee because he trusteth in Thee. I go to the Scripture where the Lord said, be still and know that I am God. I go to the Scripture where it said, I do not need to be afraid of sudden fear. I go to the Word that says, God is my refuge. I go to the Word that says, the Lord of hosts is with me. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. Oh, how God of Jacob is my refuge, on and on the Scriptures that come, and I'll say, Lord, I am not going to be afraid. I choose not to fear, and it's not based upon my resolve or my ability to protect my family. It's based upon what You've told me in the Word, that You're my refuge, and You will not allow anything to overcome me, because I am dwelling inside You, and You're a high tower and a place of safety from the storm.
Oh, yeah.
We've never lived in a time when the whole earth could be removed. I mean, let the whole earth be removed, he said. That's as drastic as you can get. Let the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. That sounds like Noah's flood. I mean, just let the whole earth cover it up. Let the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. He said, let the waters thereof roar and be troubled. Let the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. So that this is the idea of earthquakes. It's the idea of a terrible shaking that takes place in the earth. That all the foundations are shaken. Everything is moved out of its place. Nothing is familiar anymore. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in situations? I remember in my life in 19... 1985, what became known as a 500-year flood. It was the flood of the century and more. In West Virginia, they had a terrible flood. I was in college at the time in Elkins, West Virginia. My wife and I had been married less than a year, and we had been married February of 85. This is November of 85, and there was had come. It had rained and rained and rained for several days straight, and all of a sudden the waters came out of their banks, and after the aftermath of that flood, when we went around and traveled and we looked at various places, nothing was familiar anymore. Things that used to be there weren't there any longer. An old bridge that I had played on, I had dove off this bridge or hang from it and dropped into the water. We swam underneath of it and drove across it many times. It was gone, taken away by the flood. Houses that had been there all during my childhood were taken away. They existed no more. Roads were moved out of their places. Bridges were taken out. I mean, the whole landscape had changed. But I'm going to tell you something. Let there be such a storm come that can change the landscape, that can move everything around us. You and I've got to get it in us. But I'm still in the refuge. God is my refuge. I'm dwelling in a place where the storm cannot hurt me. And there is a river. Glory to God. What a contrast. What a contrast between verse 4 and verse 2 and 3. In verse 2 and 3, the earth is moved. The mountains are carried into the sea. We know what happens when earthquakes shake this earth. Tsunamis that are created. Waves that are taking place that will overwhelm. We saw tsunamis hit Japan. We've seen tsunamis hit Indonesia, other places across the world. I'm telling you, towns and villages no more. Wiped out away from them. Tornadoes recently just went through the Midwest. There are towns just completely annihilated by these things. I mean, they're gone, folks. All of that is gone. All of that is taken away. But you and I are still in a place of familiarity. Here is the earthquakes. Here's the shaking of the earth. Here's the roaring of the sea. Here's the slamming of the waves upon us. But you and I are not in the waves. You and I are not under the onslaught. Where are you and I standing? We're standing in a river that flows out from the throne of God. And I'm telling you something. It's not a raging, roaring river. It's a peaceful stream. Oh, the contrast. While the world is in turmoil and the earth is being moved and shaken by the tsunamis and by the earthquakes, you and I are dwelling in a pleasant, smooth, flowing river with tributaries and streams that are flowing out to all aspects of our lives, so that we have been led beside the still waters by the great shepherd, and we're still drinking from the fountain of life. And though the world is in turmoil, we're living in a place of peace and a place of tranquility, because God is our refuge.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Now I'm here to tell you this morning, you better get this psalm in you, because you're going to need it. You better understand that God's your refuge. Because the Holy Spirit has warned us of the storms that are coming. The beginning of sorrows that are already taking place. We better know that God is our refuge. And He said, what will happen is that this stream will make glad the city of God. That's who we are. We are a city. Now He said, the earth is removed. The mountains are carried to the midst of the sea. But there's a place. There's a refuge. There's a city. The Jews had those. They were called cities of refuge. And when you had a trouble, when you had an accident that took place and something had happened, and now all of a sudden the avenger of blood, you've accidentally killed a friend or a brother, and no one was there to witness it. And so now the friends or the family of your brother are after you. The avenger of blood is after you. You had a place that you can go where justice could be found. You had a place that you could hide in, where safety could come, and nobody could touch you. It was called a city of refuge. And I'm telling you, that's where I'm standing. I wouldn't want to be left in this world for nothing right now. They're in the government on this earth that I trust. They're in the nation in this world in which I've got my faith. No, sir. They're in the race of people that lives on this earth that I've got my faith in. There's one place I want to dwell, and it's among the people of God, in the city of God, and where the river flows from the throne of God, and I can dance in the streams of the Lord, and you and I can rejoice in the midst of the agony and despair, because there is a river that will bring joy to the city of God.
Yes, amen. Oh, yeah.
The holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. It's God's city. It's God's tabernacle. And this is all prophetic as well. It's a present application. But you will note the prophetic nature of this passage. Because that's exactly where we go. You will note in this psalm the parallel to what is going to happen during the tribulation and where you and I are going to end up after that tribulation in the city of God. Woo! With a river flowing out of the throne. Praise the Lord. With the tree of life. In the midst thereof bearing the fruit in all manner of seasons. Yes, sir, my friend. And I'm going to tell you, there's not going to be any physical tabernacle. The city itself is going to be the dwelling place of God. The Lord is going to be the tabernacle thereof. That's going to be His holy place. And that's where you and I are going to be dwelling. And I'm telling you, no death, no tears, no sorrow are ever going to come. Well, Brother Woods, that's all future. It's true. That's a future present or a future physical reality. But the present reality is this. I'm in that city now. It may not be a physical thing, but there's a spiritual truth. I am right now a part of the New Jerusalem. Hebrews chapter 12 declares that we've come to the New Jerusalem. We've come to the spirits of just men made perfect. We're under the new covenant of God. We are the children of the Lord, and we are now living, and the water of life is flowing in our hearts and in our souls.
Amen. Glory to God. Yes.
You mean, Brother Woods, you're telling me you can't lose your house, you can't lose your body, you can't lose your life? No, I'm telling you this, all of those things can happen, but I have lost nothing that is eternal. I have lost nothing that is lasting. I have only lost temporary possessions. Take my life, but I will not fear. Take my home, but that's not what makes me up. What keeps me is not my house. What keeps me is not the government. What keeps me is not my ability. What keeps me is not my body. And all these things, the Lord says, don't be afraid of that. You fear the one who can destroy body and soul. You fear the one that is over all. And he comes on to tell me, he says, the very hairs of your head are numbered. Everything about you is already logged and taken care of. And I've got you where I want you. You're mine, and I will take care of you.
Amen.
I've said it before, I'm just going to remind us about it. Because I think sometimes we can get so much in a routine, hear something so often, that we forget the significance of it. But I was reading it again in Luke's gospel this week when he said, fear not, persecution is going to come. You're going to be taken before kings and authorities. But fear not. There's going to be division. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be killed. But he says, don't fear. Don't be afraid. And he makes a statement. He says, for even the very hairs of your head are numbered. We've went around many times and say, wow, God knows how many hairs are even on your head. Well, He does. That's true. But that's not what He means. Well, God's counted all the hairs of your head. No, that's not what He's talking about. There's a difference between numbering something and counting something. Counting something is just to find the quantity. Numbering something is to identify each individual piece. If the parts on a car are numbered, if you take the plugs out of the motor and you number them, this is number one plug, this is number two plug, this is number three plug, this is number four plug. So when you put those parts back, you put number one plug and number one cylinder. You put number two plug and number two cylinder. God said your hairs are numbered. Each one of your hairs are assigned a number. It means you are so important to God that if persecution causes you to lose even number 336 hair of your head, He's going to take care of it. Restitution will be made. Glory to God. If I lose hair number 456 and I've already lost a lot of them, a lot of recompense is coming my way. Hallelujah. A lot of you folks have still got yours. But if I lose hair number 595, God's got it written down. Praise the Lord. He'll tell you, you put my servant in this place and he lost hairs number 672, hairs number 895, hairs number 347. And I'm here to tell you right now, he will be recompense for every hair that is taken from him. God is our refuge. And we need to know that we must not fear, for he is with us. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Woo, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Somewhere, we got to get it in here. We don't need to be afraid. In that city, says God's in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. But the earth is going to be moved. The mountains moved and carried to the midst of the sea. But the city of God is firm.
She's not going to be moved. Why is she not going to be moved? Because God's in the midst of her. It's not that a city can't be moved with an earthquake. It's the fact that God can't be moved. You can't move God. And wherever God is, the ship cannot go down. Jesus is on the boat and the disciples are crying out, "Lord, get up and help us. We're perishing. Going down, the boat's full of water. Aren't you afraid?" And Jesus wakes up and says, "Oh, ye of little faith, why are you so fearful?" Because that boat, it's impossible. It absolutely cannot go down. It cannot be destroyed, because the Son of Life is on board. Wherever life meets death, life always conquers, and life is always greater. Praise God.
Amen.
You know what my hope is for this church? If we listen, hold on, God's in the midst of us. I'm telling you, Wednesday night, the presence of God just brought such a liberty, and the opening part of that service was so wonderful and so refreshing. We don't need to take it for granted, but we need to know something. Wherever the city of God is there. God is in that city, and if you can move God, you can move the city. But since God can't be moved, you can't move the city. Stand firm and stand tall and say, "I will not be moved. I will be like the tree planted by the rivers of waters. God shall help her," and that right early.
Yes.
God helps us sooner than later. Too many times we think God's late. He's never late. He helps us early. I'll tell you, if God had allowed your problems to endure, you'd be a whole lot worse off today than you are. No, most of the fact is our trials have a lot of times been short, and God's come to our rescue and our aid early on in the problem, early on in the trouble. God has been there to help us. Even sometime before we called, the Lord was there already putting things in motion and taking care of things. God already had it down pat. Some of you got to understand that and put it down, because I know tomorrow will come and the next day will come, and you get overwhelmed and you're going to be tempted to fall out and say, "Oh no, what am I going to do?" And you're going to be on the phone calling up everybody's neighbor. It's all right to call folks to pray, but you better know where you stand. You better know that I got a refuge, and I'm in the presence of God right now, and you cannot take me enemy, because I belong to God, and I'm going to stand in the river of the Lord, in the presence of the Lord. I live in the city of God. God is dwelling here in the holy place of the Most High. I abide, and you can touch me.
Amen.
Woo, glory.
Amen.
Get it? It's where we're at. Verse 6. The heathen raged. This is coming right now. The heathen are raging all across this planet. Riots, protest, uprising. Nobody is content with anything. The heathen are raging.
Amen.
The saints of God are rejoicing. Woo! Because we got a refuge. The kingdoms were moved. Not just literally, but I'm going to tell you something you're going to see. National boundaries are going to disappear. Yes, sir. Governments are going to change hands. You're going to see a reorganization yet in Europe. It's going to take place. It's coming. The kingdoms are being moved.
Yeah.
It's happening right now. The more the heathen rages, the more they become discontented with present governments, they're going to form new governments. You can form new governments. You can make new kingdoms. But there's only one kingdom that's going to last, and I'm living in that kingdom, and you're living in that kingdom. Oh, hallelujah. There's only one kingdom. It's like a stone cut out of the mountain. It's going to fill the earth, and it cannot be destroyed. And we're in that refuge, and we've got to let that be our strength and our joy. It's all coming up to the tribulation time. I have preached this before, folks. Do not be surprised. I do believe that the rapture will take place very close to the beginning of the tribulation period. I do not believe that the tribulation will necessarily begin the day after the rapture. But I do believe that it will begin soon after the rapture. Now, what you must understand is that in order for us to get to tribulation, certain things have had to have been happening.
You don't have a rapture and then all of a sudden the world is just ready for Antichrist. No, there are things that are having to be put in place. There are attitudes that are developing. Sin is progressing and wickedness is growing. Seducers and evil men are waxing worse and worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We are watching perilous times. And I'm telling you, the tribulation is such a terrible time, but what we forget and to understand is that the time period that went before the tribulation, that is even setting the stage for the tribulation, is not going to be a rose garden either. You and I are going to live in the beginning of sorrows. We're living in that time of the rapture and pre-tribulation days. I believe we're living in those days right here this morning. But it's all right. I'm in a refuge. The kingdoms of the heathens raging. The kingdoms are moving. But God's fixing to speak out of this thing. Utter His voice. And He's going to melt the place. Everything's going to melt down when the King of glory comes and speaks the word and burns up the armies of this world.
Amen.
And then he says this, with us is the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies, the Lord of a multitude of armies. He is with us. Woo, glory. The God of Jacob is our refuge. First it was just God is our refuge. Now he's added to it and says the God of Jacob is our refuge. How significant is that? Why is it the God of Jacob instead of the God of Israel? Woo! I'm going to tell you something. He'd have never been to Israel if God hadn't have kept him while he was Jacob.
Amen.
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 The fact is God's kept us through our times of failure. Through our times of trying to make it work when God said it's going to be another way. Brother Cottle's been teaching on it in our Hispanic class. But some things that we have learned, we have seen in the class, you know, we talk about it. Well, Jacob stole the birthright and Jacob took the blessing of Esau. All of those things, he felt that, you know, I have to get them because God has made a promise that the elder shall serve the younger. God has made a declaration that the elder, which is Esau, is going to serve the younger. And so, knowing that promise that's been given, Rebecca knows it. Jacob knows it. Esau knows it. Isaac knows it. But now Jacob thinks, I've got to have this thing. I've got to do this. How am I going to do this? Because he's going to serve me. I've got to have the birthright. I've got to be the one that heads up the household after it. And he said, it's just not going to happen unless I make it happen. And God, you know what God does? He makes his deception. Jacob does. He deceives his father. And now his brother gets mad and he has to go out empty. Jacob is going to leave empty and he's going to come back full. I want you to know something. That many times we think we got to have it just right. We got to do it the way it's always happened. God said the elder shall serve the younger. He didn't say the younger would need the birthright to make it happen. He didn't say the younger would need the blessing of Isaac. He didn't need his father's blessing. He didn't need his brother's birthright. He had a promise of God. And God can make it happen without a birthright. God can make it happen without a blessing because He owns the cattle on a thousand hill. I don't need to make it happen the way it's always happened. I just need to let God do what God's good to do in and bring it to pass. We look and say, well, Brother Woods, he had to get the birthright. How is he going to get it? Why did he have to get it? And nothing in that book that said Jacob had to have that birthright in order for that prophecy to be fulfilled. And nothing in that book it said that Jacob had to have the blessing of his father in order for it to be fulfilled. Matter of fact, when he comes back, he will get his flocks and his herds. And they will not come from his father. They will not come from his brother's birthright. He will leave empty. He goes out of his house and leaves his family with nothing. He goes out with not a sheep in his hand. He's not leading the camel. He's not got anything. And when he comes back, he's got flocks and herds. Why? But these will not be the flocks and the herds that came from his daddy or came from his brother, but that came from the hand of God. That has been upon this man. I'm here to tell you, if God said we can have a church in Washington in 2012, it don't have to come the way the others have had it. God can do a brand new thing. And with God's blessing, we can have what we need to have today.
Amen. Right. Pretty. Hallelujah. Come on.
The God of Jacob is our refuge. The God that gets a hold of a man when he's gone out and says, he lays his head on a pillow, gets a vision and sees angels and ascending and descending on a ladder. Angels are going up to heaven to get heaven's things and coming down from heaven to bring them
to earth's inhabitants. And Jacob is at the foot of that ladder, receiving the blessings of heaven brought to him by the angels of God. Woo!
But you and I have got better than that. Because God spoke to a man by the name of Nathanael. Found him in John's Gospel, chapter 1. He was over there sitting under a tree meditating. And God called him. He must have been meditating on that passage over in Genesis. And God said, hereafter you shall see the angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Woo, glory. See, the fact is for us, we were outside of Jacob. We were outside the covenant of promise, the commonwealth. We were aliens. We were outsiders. But I'm going to tell you what God did. He made a ladder for us. Woo. Jesus becomes the ladder. He said, now the angels are going to come to you. And they will ascend and descend on the Son of Man. The Son of Man is going to be the ladder. Woo. I'm going to tell you what the Son of Man did for us. He opened up heaven. And now heaven is ours. And the angels, He's made spirits, have become ministers to the heirs of salvation. That's us, a Gentile people on the outside of the covenant. I'm telling you, let all the world's resources be drained. We've got an open highway under the heaven of heavens, under the portals of glory, and the angels are there to bring us. Whatever resource we need is ours. Let it all be stolen. Let us become impoverished, and God will still build a church worthy of His name.
Hallelujah!
I've been reading of the Pentecostal revival that come to this nation in the early part of the 20th century. And I've been reading more about that in the history of the Assembly of God Church. I'm telling you, they had less money. They had less resources. They had less material possessions. And yet they reached this nation. They put missionaries on nearly every continent and every planet. And or rather, every city and nation that was had in this world. I'm telling you, men went out and didn't have a dime to the name. They didn't have anything to go on, but they got there. We forgotten something, church. Our God is our resource. Our God is our refuge. Our God is our provider. And He alone is sufficient to the task.
Amen. Amen.
I'll be your provider, Jacob. I'll bring you back. You bring me back, God, and I'll serve you. The God of Jacob is our refuge. He comes back to that place of animosity that he left. He comes back to that anger that he left. And when he gets there, the anger has been dispersed. When he comes home, the animosity is no more. Oh, it's been taken away. Esau's no longer angry with him. And when Isaiah or when Jacob comes back, he doesn't ask for the things. He doesn't need the blessing any longer. He doesn't care about the birthright any longer. It doesn't matter anymore because he's found out something. He's got a ladder that's been opened up to him from glory. Angels ascending and descending. And God's provided for him. God's made a way. And that's the one that is our refuge, the God of Jacob. The one who provides for us when nobody else would receive us and give us a dime. God is going to be there as our refuge. Come and behold the works of the Lord. I see this verse coming to fruition now, but I see this verse even coming to fruition at the end of the tribulation period, and again at the end of the millennium. Come and behold the works of the Lord, what desolations He has wrought in the earth. Whew. We looked at the desolations many times and attributed. Look at the desolations of Germany. Look at the desolations that Germany wrought in the earth. Look at the desolations that Japan wrought in the earth. Look at the desolations that this kingdom, that the Russians or whatever it was, the Romans, the Greeks, the Persians, the Babylonians. But I'm here to tell you, when it all comes down to it, look at the desolations that God has wrought in the earth. War is an instrument of God to judge nations, whether we like that or not. And if God uses another nation to judge this nation through war, you wonder sometimes why we have went to war, we've had to fight for our freedoms, and we have lost men. I will tell you that this nation has had sins from the beginning. Though we've been built on Christian principles, we haven't always been a good nation. We haven't always done things properly and treated people properly and kept our treaties as we should have kept them. We did things we should not do. We had men who were in government who were finaglers and were men who were greedy, a filthy looker. It has happened, and I'm telling you, war is an equalizer, and war is an instrument of God to judge the world.
But I'm telling you, it's not the desolations of the nation. It's not the desolations of Japan. It's the desolations of God. And look what God has wrought in the earth. And that's where you and I are at this morning.
Amen.
But God's our refuge.
Yes, He is. Amen.
He doesn't tell us, come out of the desolation. He says, come and behold it. Woo. Come and see what God has done. Come out of your refuge, child. Come out of your refuge. Isaiah talked about it. It is a principle that the immediate application is to the Jews that will be protected during that latter part of tribulation period when they make their flee to the land of Moab, to Petra. Or they make their escape to there and they hide out in that area, in the rocks. And there they are protected from the Antichrist. But the passage in Isaiah says this, come my children, hide in my chambers. Come, gather yourself and get in my chambers until the indignation be overpassed. Woo, glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Church, if trouble is even coming on this world, and I'm going to experience much of that trouble, I have no intention of experiencing the tribulation. I believe we're going to find a way of escape. But we're going to experience plenty of it before that comes. I feel like that. But I'm here to tell you something. I got a refuge. I've got a refuge that ought to excite somebody here this morning. I've got a refuge. I am safe. Oh, Brother Woods, if you lose this, you'll lose that. It's all right. I cannot lose me. But if a man gain the whole world, but he loses his life, what's it going to profit him? That's the most important possession. The greatest thing you possess is your life. If you lose your life, you've lost it all. But my life is in the refuge of God, and I will not lose that as long as my hand is in the hand of the God of Jacob.
That's right. Amen.
Look at the desolations. He's made wars to cease. That's exactly what He's going to do in the millennial reign. They're going to beat their weapons into plowshares. There will be no standing army. I got to looking the other day at the expense it takes to run an army. During World War II, in the invasion of Normandy, I believe it was, it took 27 million gallons of gas every day just to move the army forward. 27 million gallons of fuel. War is expensive. We thought we had to have the bomber. We've got the stealth bomber. I don't remember the exact number, but it's in the billions. The cost of one airplane. War is expensive. It is a tremendous cost. And you, folks here, I can't say you and I because I wasn't here then. But folks at home, and some of you will remember the sacrifices that had to be made at home so that the soldiers could have to do. But God is going to have an economy where there is no war. Woo! Glory. That's where we're going to. I'm telling you what He's going to do. He's going to break the bow. He's going to cut the spear in sunder. And He's going to burn the chariot in the fire. Oh, the Lord of hosts is with us. And He looks at you and says this, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. That's my concern right now. I see so much happening. I'm getting so tired and so weary of God's name being run through the mud. Of people thinking Him weak when He's the greatest. Of people thinking God's a nobody when He is everything to us. Of people thinking that God doesn't even exist when He existed before. Before everything else ever came into being. People think that God has no right to rule. And yet He made us and died to buy us. He has every right to rule. And people thinking that God, everybody emphasizes their rights, but nobody talks about God's rights. And I yearn for the day when God stands up and says, here it is, fellas. Here's the last word. I will laugh. I will mock at your calamity. I'll laugh at your calamity. And when your fear comes, you'll be held in derision because I've set my king upon on the holy hill of Zion.
Amen. Amen. Wow. Amen, brother. Glory to God.
It's not out of arrogance. It's out of righteousness.
Yeah.
God deserves honor.
Amen.
God is worthy of prestige, right, and majesty and glory to be given to His name.
That's right.
The Lord of hosts. Saith the Lord of hosts.
is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. My brother Emery is in some pain this morning. But he's not alone. We're with him. And God's with him. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge.
Amen.
I hear the request over here. I hear the request back here. I hear the request on this side of the church. So-and-so's having this problem. So-and-so this problem. And all of these things that can sidetrack us so that you and I do not dig in and see a move of God this week that come to church and we're so down and we're so distraught and so distracted by everything around us. We better know where we are tonight or this morning. We're in the refuge. We are on the plantation of God and nothing can touch us on that plantation. Oh, I know things and circumstances can surround us, but the essential part of us is intact as long as our faith is in God and our trust is in Him, because the Lord of hosts is with us and the God of Jacob is our refuge, and you and I will not fear. We will not be afraid. We will stay on target and stay on track because the Lord of hosts is with us and the God of Jacob is our refuge.
Amen.
Would you stand this morning? Glory to God. Brother John, Sister Judy lost a tremendous part in the flood. Came from the last hurricane. But they didn't lose the most important thing. And that's their salvation. Floods can take our homes. Tornadoes can take our possessions. But none of those things can touch the city of God. Woo! Glory! The city's still intact, yeah, Brother John.
Amen.
Amen. It's right here this morning. Yeah. A portion of it's gathered right here in Washington, North Carolina today.
Amen.
And I guarantee you they can't touch the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
It's in a place where earthquakes do not come.
Amen.
It's in a place where tornadoes cannot find it. Hurricanes cannot reach it.
Right.
Tsunamis cannot overcome it. And one day it will come to that place and rest upon this earth. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth. The hot breath of the Lord is going to melt the elements of this place. And it's all going to be burned. He's going to make it all brand new. He's going to fold it up as a garment and then make it brand new again. And that's where you and I have gone to. If our vision is not there, we will become short-sighted and lose where we were going. The Lord of hosts is with us and the God of Jacob is our refuge.
Yeah, that's it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen. You ought to memorize that passage and put it in you. And every time the enemy comes to you to bring fear and say, look, there's more that's with us than are against us. They that are with us are more than they that are against us. Why? Because the Lord of hosts is with us. Oh, I can't see them. Get your spiritual eyes open, Elisha. Get your spiritual eyes open, servants, and see that there are more that are with us than they that are against us. Oh, let the earth be removed. Let the heathen rage. Let the kingdoms be moved. The Lord will utter His voice and melt the earth, and God Himself will rule and reign. He will be exalted among the heathen. He will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God. That is where I'm going to stay.
Right. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah.
The man that needs to fear is the man that's living outside of Jesus.
Right.
He better be afraid.
Right.
He better shake like he's never shaken.
Amen.
Because I'm telling you, let them boast all they want to. They'll not be boasting when the demons are unleashed on this earth. They'll not be boasting when war is unleashed upon this planet. When comets have come and struck this earth. When meteorites have struck this planet. When the waters have been turned to blood. When the waters have been poisoned. And the green vegetation destroyed. When the sea and the food has been destroyed. And that, I'm telling you, when boils are breaking out on bodies and men are tormented by demons. Ain't not going to be any boasting in the sense then. I'm telling you, it's going to be a terrible time. I'll tell you how to get around it, and that is get right with Jesus today. Get Him the refuge. Jesus is the refuge. Stay right there, and no harm will come to
to your glory to God.
Amen.
Woo! Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.